Hello and welcome to the show brought to you by the YAFC. I'm Everett and I'm so excited to be here for our eighth episode. And for those of you that are new to the show, because I think we're getting some new listeners, the YAFC, or Youth Advocates for Change, is a group of youth and young adults from across the United States working with the RAE Center, which is a technical assistance center focused on supporting parent information centers in the area of transition. And the YAFC creates content and material that helps support the work of the RAE Center. And this podcast for us is a labor of love. We love doing this and bringing this to you every month. And we're really, really excited that it is almost Thanksgiving, and this will be coming out here in a couple of weeks, probably right after the holiday. And you'll be able to listen to this, and then there'll be episodes all through the month of February. So, but tonight I have two amazing guests with me. To have a conversation around the concept of independent living, which we'll talk a little bit about here in a second, and answering awkward questions like, how do you do a task, a daily living task, as a person with a disability? What do you do? How do you do this or that? And people are just curious about those things and they love to ask those questions. But I thought it would be great to have our guest tonight talk about that as two people who are chair users like myself. And so we really know that this kind of conversation is focused on people that, or we believe that people that have very apparent disabilities that you can see. And so, but I want to give our guests a chance to introduce themselves. So Aaron, do you want to go first, say where you're from and why the YAFC is so awesome?
Sure. So yeah, I'm Erin. I'm from Minnesota. And so I would say probably one of my favorite things, as we were talking about even before the show was, the YAFC, gives me a good opportunity to kind of vent to people who are not only similar ages, but like people with disabilities as well. It's like a huge stress reliever for me and gives you that sense of community, which is super helpful.
We were having a little bit of a vent sesh, like literally right before this, just for a couple minutes. So,
Yeah.
hey, Atif, you want to introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and why the YFC is so awesome for you?
Hi, my name is Ajit, and I am from New York. And the reason why the YFG is so important to me is because I get to, relate to people that are like me and in my situation.
Sure. And I think that bond and being able to know that we're sharing information with people across the country, people with disabilities and their families and all of that. And so I have to say, honestly though, as a host, I'm gonna have to like keep my mouth shut because this independent living topic or the idea of independent living is super, super near and dear to my heart because the independent living philosophy is not really like a physical thing. It's more about an idea that people with disabilities should be able to be in control of their own lives, making their own choices and being independent. And so my first question to both of you, and Aaron, I'm going to go to you first and then go to Atif and kind of ask this question. But like, what does independent me living mean to you? Because it isn't the same for everyone, right? It isn't always about just doing everything on your own. So, Aaron, you want to talk about that? Like what independent living means for you?
So I would basically talk about independent living as far as like having, control over what you need to do in a day. And of course, like any person, you don't have total control, but at least there's certain things that you have to get through the day with whatever you need to do. And so, for example, like I physically cannot transfer myself to bed, but the way I'm able to do that independently for myself, as far as what independent means, is by getting help from someone else. So I'm able to advocate for myself of what I need to get that task done. So in my mind, that's what independent living is basically being able to take something that you may not be able to physically do yourself, but having this partnership with either another person, it could even be technology, like an assistive device even, that can get something done that you can't physically do because of your disability. So that's kind of how I view independent living.
Well, and that's and as you're saying that, I was thinking about like people that might have like reading disabilities or things with writing, like the use of AI and the use of like audiobooks and all that sort of stuff. Like, that's all promoting independence and choice. And so this really isn't just like a physical disability thing, but I think that it resonates most with people like yourself and I who use supports. Atif, what about you? Like, what does independent living mean for you, being a person that gets supports on a regular basis as a guy with CP like me?
It means all, like, everything, being able to do the things that you need in life on your own, and to get to that level of independence. That's what really means a lot to me.
And
independent living.
Sure, and I just have a question, Atif. Like, and don't go off on me too much on this. But this is almost like a bonus question, right? I wasn't going to ask this, but as you're talking, what has the journey been like for you to figure out, like, what works for you? Has it always been good, or has there been frustrating?
No, points? It's been a very rocky road, because not every day is the same. I'm sure, Everett, you can relate to that. Not every day is the same.
Sure. And Aaron, so, you want to, like, go ahead, Atif. You have more to say. I don't want to cut you off.
No, what were you going to say, Everett? I'm sorry.
No, I wanted Aaron to kind of build off of that. Like, what has the journey been like for you to, like, kind of figure out what works? And do you feel like you've kind of figured that out now, being in your mid-20s?
No, nothing's figured out, I would say. unfortunately. But I think that's the thing, is, like, with independent living, and depending on, like, what you're able to physically do or what you need, and, like, we talked about technology and how far that's even advanced too, is that I think, like, you know, I've gone through personal care attendants where now I just know the personalities I look for. You know, I know what to ask people. I know what will, you know, mesh, but I think there's just always going to be things that don't necessarily, there's not things you can always predict. And so I think, like, my thing that I've always built is this kind of idea of, like, not only, like, building resilience around it, but also kind of building a support system, because, you know, things are kind of unpredictable, and having that support system, whether it's, you know, friends, family, neighbors, is like a super great thing.
It's exactly what Atif referenced, that every day is different, right?
Yep. And so, yeah, it's not the same. You deal with different personality, different mood swings. And, you know, the mood swings is a big thing, because you also got to think about, like, your caregiver might not be in a good mood, because they feel like it's very repetitive, because they have to help you every single day to get you up, to do this, to do that, and then it upsets you, because you're feeling, what did I do wrong? I didn't choose to be like this.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, that's a really big point about, like, when you have
Aaron, what did you have to say? Because you're, like, nodding your head. Yes. Yes. Like,
yeah.
Go ahead. Aaron is really very vigorously nodding your head.
Well, I think that's the thing. And, like, I think, like, the number one thing I think back to, like, when I was in college, you know, and all of my personal care attendants were also in college, you know, so there were those days where when finals would come up, we would all be in the trenches of, like, trying to figure out finals. So, like, I think, like, I bet Atif has also dealt with this, is, like, sometimes you do have to compromise with, you know, the people who are caring for you. And, like, really figure out the dynamic, and then happens.
And then if you really need your need met, you're like, you get called selfish, other stuff, and you don't care. But, like, do you understand the situation I'm in?
Well, and even if you don't get called selfish, you still feel selfish, right? People can call you selfish, but it's also you are very aware. And I think what you're both speaking to is the fact that, when you have to rely on support to maximize your independence, you have to manage personalities a lot and learn how to ask for support, and then understand people's what's the, not bandwidth, but, like, what their availability is, right? So I call it, my disability is made me very emotionally aware of other people's feelings.
Yeah.
But I feel like that helps me in other places too. So the next question I wanted to ask though is related to independent living, but I think it's more about, let's say you're meeting a person on the street, or you're meeting a person, you're out at a party, you're in a classroom. I'm trying to think of all the places this has happened to me, in a restroom, whatever. And you meet someone and they just ask you a question that's like, how do you do X? Right? So it could be like, how do you go to the bathroom? How do you get dressed?
How do you pee? Like, they go right, that in depth.
Yeah, it's that.
And I'm like, yes. I'm like, excuse me? Like,
yeah, so
they want sequential order of how everything goes. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, so people can ask those questions. So my question is like, Atif, like, how do you approach when somebody asks you that kind of question? Like, how do you go to the bathroom?
Well,
like,
I just tell them respectfully. I just tell them I'd rather not discuss it, or none of your business.
Right. Sure. And so, Aaron, do you have a thought on that? Like, are you more of an open book about things like that, or do you like?
No.
Well, Atif is not. So. I can feel that. And.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Erin is either, because she's a meme.
Yeah, let's see what she says.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have like maybe like a Midwest approach to it. I think like a lot of it has to do with my mood and who the person is. Like if this is like a friend I've had for a couple of years and they're like genuinely interested and like want to support me in that, fantastic. Maybe we can talk about it at a surface level. But if this is like some random guy, I will most likely say, like, I don't know what this has to do with you, so please leave me alone type situation.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I think there's like a lot of variations.
Leave me alone now.
Well,
like, I don't even know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let me just ask this question, because Aaron, like, you talked about when it depends on who the person is. Like, what's your gauge of when it's okay to start divulging information like that, or answering someone's questions? Like, when does that become like, I'm okay to talk about, you know, some of the way that I need support, and not necessarily going to the bathroom? Maybe that's a bad example to start with.
Yeah. Maybe that was like, too intimate, right?
Like, what do you do when, you know, you want to start divulging information about how things are done, so that people that you want in your life understand you better? Because there is that part too, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good differentiator too in my mind, is like, how does this person relate to you and your life? So like, for example, like if you're starting a relationship with that person, or if this person is a member of your family who genuinely cares and wants to be part of your life, or who's a friend, or that type of thing. I think that that's a huge differentiator, is that once you kind of establish, you know, that this person is genuine and actually wants to support you and have a strong relationship, I think that that's kind of a foundation to give you almost like this permission to yourself to introduce maybe information. I mean, not like Atif said, giving them like a step-by-step rundown.
Yeah,
but like surface level,
because,
right?
Because you know what it is? That's what people want.
Yeah.
And then it's really embarrassing. Because I was in school. Like, let me give you a story. I was in school with this, you know, I was in a regular class, and the kid was like around my age, like 18, 19, 20, around that. And then the kid goes, wait, sorry, I'm going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
the part that gets me is it's out of nowhere like that. It's like, oh, we're in class. And it's like, I was just wondering, how do you go to bed at night? Or what do you do when you're in the, you know, because I've actually had someone say to me, similarly, Atif, I've had someone say to me that I never really thought that you were a person outside of the wheelchair. And by that, I mean they can't picture the fact that.
Yeah, I've gotten worse, Everett.
Whereas like they think that you don't get out of your chair, that you're forced to stay in it all the time, right?
No, and they think, oh well, you have a brain, you talk, or do you are you paralyzed?
There's that whole piece too of like that was one of our last episodes was about people's low expectations of people, like, oh, you actually have an opinion and you actually want to like guide your life and you can actually communicate or you want
to communicate. The school that I was at before I fought for myself to go to a regular school, I used to state my opinion under it and then they're like, oh wow, you didn't state your opinion?
Right. Yep. So it sounds like the two of you most of the time get angry about these questions. Is that do you sometimes view them as teachable moments for people? Like, does that
I would say it depends on my mood. Yeah.
Yes.
I think like if I've been working all day and then you're minimized to how you do some basic task, it's like I am so much more than like a basic task, you know? Like for all I just presented to our CEO and he loved this new idea that I had, or you know, that I just got my master's degree, or you know what I mean? Like there's all these other things that make up a person. And why are we always minimized to, you know, some basic task that in the grand scheme of the world doesn't quite
very true.
Or when you're hanging out with your friends somewhere and then somebody just walks up on you and you're like having like the best time and then it gets awkward for you and your friends. Like I actually was asked by a young lady in high school, this is similar to Atif's story about the kid in class just being like, how do you go to the bathroom? I actually got asked if I sleep with my eyes open, and I'm not making this up, I will not say her name, but I could, I mean it's, but my friend literally said he's not a fish, like, and then she got really offended because he was joking with her, but she was genuinely curious.
Are you joking with her, but in a serious like way, like
yes. Well, and then ever since that interaction, that person was like, he's not nice. Like she put it on me that I wasn't, or that my friends are not nice anymore because they belittled her question. And so I do try not to do that, but I try to keep my mouth shut, like a team was almost saying, like, it's none of your business, and then just like move on. Or I fully embrace answering the question and realize what I'm getting into, right? Like that's, but it has to be in the right frame of mind, it has to be in the right space.
I think the thing that always gets me is that depending on what the person is asking, especially if it's like a super personal thing they're asking, that would be rude to any non-disabled person. But if you give them an answer back that's rude, as far as like, you know, like you said, like having a sarcastic comment or, you know, talking some sass, you know, then they're like, oh, well, this person's in a bad mood and they're rude and, you know, whatever. And it's like, but don't you realize that what you asked was rude? Isn't that interesting?
Yes. And it does puts pressure on people like us to kind of always take the high road. You know what I mean? Like all the time. And it gets really annoying, but it kind of leads to my last question is like, I'm sure there are young adults or family members that are dealing with this, right? Whether it's a mom that gets, you know, like, I'm sure, you know, parents or guardians or brothers or sisters get, like, in private moments get told, oh, I don't know how you do that with your kids, or in the past, like, I don't know how you deal with all that. Or my wife gets, I don't know how you're married to him. Now, people could say, well, you're Everett, you're weird, right? And that's why, like, why would you ever want to marry you? But it's because they're like, oh, God bless you for, you know, helping him throw the thing you have to or whatever. When he's like,
yeah, no, yeah, and they tell my mom, you know, they tell my mom, are they because you know, I have a twin brother. I don't know if you knew, but he also works with Stan and Josie. But anyway, they were telling me, my mom, they were like, they're not a burden to you. And my mom goes, and these are women, like grown well, women. Like, yes. They're not a burden to you. And then my mom pulled them off.
Yeah, so Ateeb, just so everybody's clear, Ateeb mentioned that he has a twin brother, right? That, and you both have the same disability, right? It just, this kind of is what it is, right? It just kind of happened that way. It's not like, oh, like, and so people will talk to your family about, isn't that awful or isn't that a burden, right?
Yeah,
and so it's almost like families deal with that how do you question in a different way. And so my question to both of you is like, what kind of advice would you give to youth or parents who are kind of dealing with these questions? Yeah. Asking that out of nowhere or having an opinion like that. What would your advice be? Aaron, do you want to go first and I'll kick it to Ateeb?
Sure. So I think like there's two different perspectives I have. There's like the person who has a disability and maybe the parents. And obviously I'm not a parent of, you know, a disabled kid, but what I can speak to is, I think often like people don't want to come directly to the person with the disability sometimes about like more intimate or personal questions. And so I feel like the best thing that I can say to parents is like, if there's a question that you find offensive, if it was asked to you and someone's asking about that with your child, maybe just say like, would you ask this to my child personally and like to their face? Probably not. So like, that's something that we don't need to talk about and kind of move on. And I think there's also times where there's just questions that maybe they want to ask your kid and aren't offensive, but it's like the parent shouldn't always be answering for them. Like, why don't you talk to the person themselves? Because just because they have this.
So facilitating the fact that your kid can answer these questions also.
Sure.
And before you answer, Ateeb, I was going to say one of the things that my mom, I guess, inadvertently did was facilitate the ability for me to share my story to classmates. Right? Yeah. Like, he was like, Everett should do a report about his disability and like research it, which then led me to like do that, but then also share my stuff that I felt comfortable to share that. And I think there are some youth out there that would feel very empowered by having a platform to talk about, this is my disability, this is what I experience. And you'd be surprised how that opens the door to conversation. But Ateeb, what kind of advice would you give to other youth that are being asked these questions randomly or
just keep going with your goals and keep going further in life? Because if you just get wrapped up with this, you're just gonna destroy you. Because there was a time in my life where I was gonna destroy me.
It can. And so it's like it can destroy you, or maybe that's but it can really hamper like where you're headed to.
Yeah, Aaron, what were you going to say? Because you look like you want to say something to that.
Aaron is agreeing. Aaron is.
No, agreeing. I just think everything we're saying.
Involuntary shaking podcast. Your head. Like,
yeah, it's just this whole podcast has just been only speaking the truth. So, but I think like one of the things I was going to say too, kind of building off of what Ateeb was saying, is like, I think I like want to give permission to youth to not have to answer to people all the time and to like think about your own bandwidth. And it's like, if you had a rough day, you don't have to like give in to people, especially if it's someone who's older. Like, it doesn't have to be something you always have to share. So like, feel comfortable with like gauging what you are comfortable with.
Yeah. And you don't have to apologize either. Like, that's, I think that people with disabilities are oftentimes forced to, or they feel like they're being forced to like explain something, talk about their lives, their future, their thoughts. And Ateeb is so right. Like, don't let stuff like that hinder you from achieving what you want to do for you and what you think your life should be, right? That's very, both of you, it's like, you don't owe anybody anything, and it's your life and you only get one. So you got to make the best of it, right? You got to do what you can. And if you feel like these kind of things are weighing you down, don't pay it any mind. If you get joy out of answering questions, then answer them all, right? So it is what it is. I really do appreciate both of you tonight being here. I thank you for being here. I thank you for being so honest about this. And I really do hope that youth and families that are listening to this do hear this. And maybe I hope it relieves some pressure to realize that other people experience the, what's the word, anger, or that, you know, people get worn down by these questions. Sometimes it's appropriate to be answering questions, but it's really up to you how you handle that. So I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you both, and thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to look at the other 7 episodes we have, you can go to theraycenter.org and find our podcast there and listen to them. They're really, really awesome. Our next couple episodes are going to focus on things like dating and relationships and interacting with community groups that are not disability focused and different things like that. So really, really excited to have that happen. And thank you both again, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving to everybody. Eat that turkey or other goodies. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.